They were getting nearer to Tashpan. There were more and larger villages and more people on the roads. They now did nearly all their travelling by night and hid as best they could during the day. And at every halt they argued and argued about what they were to do when they reached Tashpan. Everyone had been putting off this difficulty, but now it could be put off no longer.
The first thing we must do is to fix a place to meet, somewhere on the far side of Tashpan, if by any ill luck we get separated while passing the city.
Where do you suggest?
The tombs of the ancient kings on the very edge of the desert. They're things like stone beehives. You can't possibly miss them. And the best of it is that none of the Kalormans will go near them, because they think the place is haunted by ghouls. They're afraid of it.
Oh, it isn't really haunted, is it?
Frankly, I'm a free Narnian horse and don't believe in these Kalorman tales.
I don't care a straw about these old stories of ghouls either.
I'm not bothered.
The tombs will be our assembly place then.
I hope you don't mind my mentioning something.
Please do, Madam Huynh.
It seems to me that the real problem isn't where we should meet when we get through Tashpan, but how we're going to get through it at all.
I suggest we swim across the river below the city during the night and not go into Tashpan at all.
The river mouth is very wide, and it would be far too long a swim for Huynh to do. Especially with a rider on her back.
I hadn't thought of that.
Also, it will be full of shipping. And of course, anyone on the deck of a ship who saw two horses swimming past will be inquisitive.
Well, does the river narrow at any point?
Above Tashpan.
Well, why don't we cross there?
Because there are gardens and pleasure houses on both banks of the river for miles.
So?
Well, there will be Tarkans and Tarkinas living in them and riding about the roads and having water parties on the river. It would be the most likely place in the world for meeting someone who would recognise Erebus, or even me.
We could wear a disguise.
We should wear disguises in any event. But I must confess that I believe the safest thing is to go right through the city itself from gate to gate, because one is less likely to be noticed in the crowd. The humans can dress up in rags and look like peasants and slaves, and all Aravis's armour and our saddles and things must be made into bundles and put on our backs. And the children must pretend to drive us, and people will think we're only pack horses.
Oh, my dear Huynh, as if anyone can mistake Bree for anything but a war horse, however you disguised him.
I should think not, indeed.
I know it's not a very good plan, but I think it's our only chance.
Well,
we haven't been groomed for ages, and we're not looking quite ourselves.
True.
I do think if we get well plastered with mud and go along with our heads down, as if we're tired and lazy, and lift our hooves hardly at all, we might not be noticed. And our tails ought to be cut shorter. Not neatly, you know, but all ragged.
Oh, my dear madam, have you pictured to yourself how very disagreeable it would be to arrive in Narnia in that condition?
Well, the main thing is to get there.
I think it's the most sensible plan anyone's come up with so far.
It will involve a certain amount of raiding.
He means stealing.
We'll have to take a few things from some of the nearby farmhouses. Sacks and rope and the like.
I'll need some tattered old boys' clothes.
Oh, and we can use my scimitar to cut your tails.
I don't much like the idea. Oh, but it's the only one we have. Let's get to work then.
We're approaching the city now.
Remember, keep together if we possibly can. If not, meet at the tombs of the ancient kings. And whoever gets there first must wait for the others.
And don't you two horses forget yourselves and start talking.
Narnia and the North!
What's that?
That's the horns blowing for the city gates to be opened. We shall be there in a minute.
Now, Erebus, do droop your shoulders a bit and step heavier and try to look less like a princess. Try to imagine you've been kicked and cuffed and called names all your life.
Oh, if it comes to that, what about you drooping your head a bit more and arching your neck a bit less and trying to look less like a warhorse?
Here we are.
What's wrong, Arvis? You have an odd look on your face.
Oh, it's all very well for you. What could you care about, Tashban? I ought to be riding in on a litter with soldiers before me and slaves behind. And perhaps going to a feast in the Tizrock's palace. May he live forever. Not sneaking in like this. It's different for you.
That's very silly.
Oh, those soldiers would all jump to attention and salute me if they knew whose daughter I am.
Be quiet or you'll give us away.
Hey, you! Horse boy!
Yes, sir?
What does he want?
You'll catch it if your master finds you've been using his saddle horse for pack work.
It's my master's orders. So there.
Yeah, take that! You young filth! To teach you how to talk to a soldier and a free man.
Yes, sir.
Be on your way.
Are you all right, Chester?
Yes. I'm used to being hit a lot harder than that.
What is this place? In 1 minute we're in a marketplace, and the next we're here.
We're very near the palaces of the Tizrock. May he live forever. And his many dignitaries.
It's too crowded. I can barely move.
Be patient.
You're in danger of losing hold of three.
Way! Way! Way for the white barbarian king, the guest of the Tizrock. May he live forever. Make way for the Narnian lord.
Narnian? Did he say Narnia?
Step back! You're in the way!
I can't! Bree, back up!
Now then, watch who you're shoving!
I'm really sorry!
Make way, boy!
I'm trying!
Chester!
I've lost hold of Bree!
Just get out of the way and stand still!
And so Chester found himself unintentionally in the first row of the crowd and had a fine sight of the party that was coming down the street. The crier who went ahead was the only Calormene in it, and everyone was on foot. There were about half a dozen men who were all as fair-skinned as Shasta was, and most of them had fair hair. And they were not dressed like men of Calormene. Their tunics were of fine, bright, hardy colours. Instead of turbans, they wore steel or silver caps. A few were bareheaded. The swords at their sides were long and straight, not curved like Calormene scimitars. And instead of being grave and mysterious like most Calormene, they walked with a swing and let their arms and shoulders go free and chatted, laughed. You could see that they were ready to be friends with anyone who was friendly and didn't give a fig for anyone who wasn't. Shasta thought he'd never seen anything so lovely in his life. But there was no time to enjoy it, for at once, a really dreadful thing happened.
Look! There he is! There's our runaway!
Me?
Shame on you, my lord! Fie for shame!
Well, I'll be bound. There you are! Queen Susan's eyes are red with weeping because of you.
Truant for a whole night. Where have you been?
Hi! Bree!
Take one of his lordship's hands, of your courtesy, and I'll take the other.
Come along, my lord!
And now on! Our royal sister's mind will be greatly eased when she sees our young rascal safe in our lodging.
How hast thou escaped from us? And where hast thou been?
What has become of thy clothes?
Thou hast been very naughty. Very naughty indeed.
Have you nothing to say? I must plainly tell you, Prince, that to run away might pass for a boy's frolic with some spirit in it. But the King's Son of Arkenland should avouch his deed, not hang his head like a Calormene slave.
Still, he does not speak.
Perhaps in our chambers, in private. Come,